morning, if you don't mind, for you to think that I'm sitting down and talking to you personally. I'd like to just have a chat. I'd like to chat with you wives this morning, you housewives, who had four children in the last 36 months. Figure that one out when you get home, if you'd like. I'd like to talk to you about how to avoid burnout. I'd like to talk to you wives of students, and I'd like to help you to avoid burnout. I'd like to talk to you men who are busily engaged with trying to keep the bills paid. I'd like to talk to you young men in college who are having to work by night and go to school by day. And I'd like to talk to you on the subject, how to avoid burnout. Opened my mail the other day, and I got a letter from a mother. This is not the only one like it I've gotten. I get one once every month or so. Some mother is scolding me. Her son is a student at Howells Anderson College, and I admire her because she's concerned about her son. But she writes and she says, "You've been unfair to my son. My son is only 18, 19, 20 years old, and he's already burned out. And he has to go to school at 8 o'clock in the morning and then go to work, and he gets about 4 or 5 hours sleep a night." And she'll say, "My son is burned out." Or sometimes students will leave school because they say they have reached the point of burnout. I was out west not long ago, and I was talking to a preacher who knows a friend of mine who's out of the ministry now. And by the way, this man was a great preacher and pastored a great church. And right in his middle years, I'd say in his early middle years, I'm guessing 40, 42 years old. That's early middle years. Very early middle years. Infancy. But anyway, right in the prime of his ministry, with the kind of church that preacher boys and preachers would covet and love to have, he just dropped off the screen. I mean, nobody finds him anymore. And I asked somebody, "What happened to him?" And he said, "Well, nothing wrong. He didn't do anything bad. He just burned out. That's all. He told me that he talked to me and he said he just burned out." Somebody the other day cornered me in a meeting where I was preaching after the service. They said, "Dr. Howells, I want to ask you some questions." So we sat down in the choir where I often sit down after the service and chat with somebody who needs to see me. And he said, "Let me ask you a few questions." He said, "Is it true, I've heard this, is it true that you have not had a vacation for 20 years? I said, "That's true." He said, "I don't think this is true, but I want to ask you, I've heard it. Is it true that you've not had one single entire day off from work in 20 years? I said, "That's true." Now he said, "I know this isn't true, but I heard it, and I want you to tell me it isn't true." He said, "Is it true that for 20 years you've not missed, because of illness, a single Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night service in your church?" He said, "That can't be true." I said, "It's true. It's true." He said, "Is it also true that because of illness you've not missed a single speaking engagement anywhere in America for 20 years? I said, "That's true. That's true." He said, "You leave every Monday morning, don't you?" That's true. That's true. Everything's true. And that's true. And he said, and you get back for college chapel, don't you?" "Yes," I said, "that's right." He said, "That means you have to fly. If you go out west, you fly all night. You don't go to bed at all on Tuesday night." I said, "That's true." This week I'm preaching out west, for example, and I can't get a nonstop flight back in time to get me here before noon on Wednesday. And so I'm having to take a flight from Western City to another Western City and stay there in that airport an hour and a half, 2 hours, between about midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning, catch a flight, and then fly back to Chicago. He said, "You live that last trip." He said, "Brother Hiles, how do you avoid burnout?" You know, it's interesting. You 18-year-old guys can't take what the old man takes. That's strange. I mean, here you are, 18, 19, 20 years old, and a 61-year-old senile senior citizen can take more than you can take. I can't take that, though. But can take more than you can take. Now, there's got to be a reason, and there is a reason, and I'm going to tell you this morning. I'm going to tell you what I told him. I thought about it. A man said to me in 1949, who was a pretty well-to-do fellow. He came to our church in, out in the country, out of Marshall, Texas, and he said to me one day, he said, "Look, young man, I want to give you some advice from a man who's lived a long time." He said, "You keep going like you're going, and you won't last 5 years." He said, "You'll burn out in 5 years if you keep going like you're going." 5 years isn't up yet. This is what I told him. I told this young man recently who asked me all these questions. I said, "Here's why I haven't burned out. Number one," I said, "I let him do the work. I let him do the work." I used to use an extra cycle. Now I can't bend over enough. But I used to use an extra cycle. I think we still have it somewhere around the house, in the basement or somewhere. I know I try to avoid it. But we only have it there for company when company comes. But I would eat it. But I haven't got, I eat it. I would eat it. Yeah, if it's chew and swallow, I'd eat it all right. But I would ride it, but I'm too busy eating. But anyway, now that extra cycle that we had, and I still have somewhere in the house, thank you. That extra cycle, you can use it two ways. You can turn it on automatic, or you can have it on manual. Now on manual, you have to push the pedals yourself. And boy, you push and you push and you push and you push. But now on automatic, you just sit up there and yield yourself and put your feet through some on the pedal, over the pedal, what do you call them? Straps. These big words always throw me. Straps over the pedal. And you put your feet in there and just turn the thing on and hold on. And you don't do a thing. You don't do the work. It does all the work for you, but you move as much, and you get the exercise, but the work is done for you. All you do is yield. Now, that's what happens to a lot of Christians. We won't do the work. No, the work is His. You just yield and let Him do the work. Now, I'm still tired when I finish preaching, but I'm rested. I sometimes come home from church at night, and I preach somewhere across the country. And oftentimes, I'll say this to myself. I'll walk in my room, and I'll plop down, and I'll say to myself, "I just don't believe I can do that again. I just do not believe I can ever do that again." And yet, next morning, I'm up at 11 o'clock, ready to hit it. But I'm ready to go again. Why? Because I let Him do the work. Now, you let Him work. Yeah, you go soul winning, but don't. Let Him do the work. You yield yourself to Him and beg for His power. When you go soul winning, tell the story. Let Him do the saving. Let Him do the work. And that's the first reason why I've not burned out in all these years. I have my exercise cycle on automatic. I just get up on the thing and I just say, "Lord, here I am. I'm going to obey You, and You are going to have to do the work." Number two, how do I avoid burnout? Number two, I rest in the work and not from the work. I rest in the work and not from the work. Without you turning to it, let me read you our text this morning. "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will send you to Hawaii for 2 weeks." Now, what it says, what worldly folks would like for it to say, but that's not what it says. "I will send you to West Palm Beach for a month. I will send you to the golf course 2 days a week." Now, what it says, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." What does it say? "Take My yoke upon you. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Now, listen carefully. Your problem about burnout is not needing rest physically. It's your soul needs to rest. You need to learn how to have your soul to rest. Now, the way your soul rests, you let Him do the work, and you don't do it.
And then you rest in the work and not from the work. I rest in the work. I never take a time off from the work. I'm a little tired of preachers preaching on that too, by the way. But Jesus said, come unto me. You have a heavy load? You have a burden? He said, come unto me and lay your burden down, and I will give you another burden. But I want you to notice this. It's a yoke. What does that mean? He said, in the burden that I give you, we will bear it together. It's a yoke. You have a burden you're bearing by yourself. You come to me, lay that burden down. I'm not going to give you a month's cruise on the ocean. I'm going to give you another burden, but he said the difference in your burden and the burden I'll give you is that the burden I give you, you bear the burden, I'll bear the burden, and we march alone together. So you go alone to him. I pull alone, and then I take my yoke off and go to him and get in his yoke with him. And there are two wonderful things about that. In the first place, we get to fellowship while we're pulling the yoke together. We're right there beside each other. He's here in the yoke. I'm here in the yoke. And together, we pull. So he helps me pull the yoke. Now, if I get a little tired, I just sort of ease up a little bit, let him pull. You see, I rest in the work and not from the work. If we're pulling along here, Jesus and I pull along here. He's doing most of the pulling. But if I get a little weary, he doesn't know it, but I just don't pull. But the yoke keeps going. The mule keeps going. The plow keeps going. Why? Because I rest in the work and not from the work. Now, there are two ways you can rest. You can go alone, stop a while, then go alone, stop a while, then go alone, stop a while, then go alone, stop a while, and that's the way that most people get their rest. But there's a second way. You can go with him in his yoke and go all the time. So I rest in the work and not from the work. I want to say that again. I used to my house. Don't you just get tense? No, I don't get tense. No, I'm as relaxed right now as you folks are sleeping on. I'm as relaxed right now as you ladies are in your kitchen. I'm as relaxed right now as you fellas are at work. I'll guarantee you, whatever my blood pressure is, it didn't rise when I got up here. Well, how did you ever get scared when you preach? No, never get scared. Ever get nervous? No, never get nervous. No, never get nervous. Why? Because I rest in the work. I'm resting right now. I'm not working. I'm resting. I am doing his work, but he and I are doing it together, and he's pulling, and I'm with him, and I'm resting while I work. Now, if you could ever get to a place to where your work would not be work, but you could rest in the work, you wouldn't have to jerk all the time. Work a while, stop. Work a while, stop. Work a while, stop. I know preachers that tomorrow morning will hit the golf course to get over the nervousness of having preached today on the peace of God. You played golf like I play, you'd have to preach on Tuesday to get over your golf game on Monday. I've preached for years. I used to play golf. And I'll tell you about it after a while. I used to play golf. But I'll guarantee you one thing. I got more nervous playing golf than I do preaching. Because I do not rest from the work. I rest in the work. Number three. I said, I let him, number one, I let him do the work and I yield just like the extra cycle on automatic. I said, number two, I rest in the work, not from the work. Because my load is not borne by me alone, it's borne with him, and I rest as I go with him. He helps me carry the load. Number three, I spend time with him. Now, listen to me. You need vacations. I'm not against vacations. I'm not preaching against vacations. I am preaching against your having to have one. Do you want to say? I'm for you having a vacation. I'm not for you having to have one. Did you know that there was a day in American history when nobody took vacations? Did you know that the word vacation is a term that's come up in the last 50 years in America? Do you know that? Anybody here? Did you know that? How many of you old timers, if you're over 50 years old, You remember a time when word vacation was hardly used. Raise your hand, would you please? Oh, yes, all over the house. We didn't have vacations back before heart attacks were invented. Now, I guarantee you, vacation America has more nervous breakdown than non-vacation America had. Mrs. Howe's dad, C.M. Slaughter, worked at owned a feed store 30-some-odd years. He never took a day off. Never took a vacation. I'm not against him. I'm not against him. I'm not against you taking a vacation so you can be with your family. I'm not against you taking a vacation so you can go see your loved ones. I'm not against you taking a vacation, but I am against the kind of Christianity that's all tense and all total. And I've got to have some time off. I've got to get... No, there's a way you don't have to do that. And you won't burn out. Listen, if you're going to burn out, you can burn out 50 weeks as well as you can 52 weeks. I mean, a two-week vacation is not going to keep you burning out. So I'm saying you're going to have to figure out some way to not burn out when you're not on vacation. I say, spend time with Him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's in the Bible. They that wait upon the Lord. Now, there is a way that you can run and not be weary. Did you hear what I said? There's a way you can work and not be tired. There's a way that you can walk and not faint. There's a way that you can do it. And you're going to include in that, you're going to have to learn to spend time with God. I live a life of priorities. There are many things that I don't do that I need to do, but I don't get to them because I live a life of priorities. My top priority, on the top of the list is my time with God. Always my time with God. Well, how's I don't have time to spend time with God. I said my top priority is time with God. If I don't have time to do something, it's something else. My top priority is time with God. My second priority is my preaching, preparing for my preaching. That's my second priority. So I'm saying, I said to this fellow, I don't burn out. I haven't burned out through these years. And I want to thank God this morning. I enjoy preaching right now more than I ever enjoyed preaching. I haven't burned out. I enjoy God more than I've ever enjoyed God. I love Him more than I've ever loved Him. I love that book more than I've ever loved this book. I enjoy life more than I've ever enjoyed life. I've got as much mental vigor as I had when I was a youngster. Why? I learned how not to burn out. How? I let Him do the work. I rest in the work and not from the work. Number three, I spend time with Him. Number four, I've got to hurry. Number four, I don't dwell on my hurts. This is so vital. I don't dwell on my hurts. I'm going to say something under this point that's going to shock you to death in a minute. I don't dwell on my hurts. I'll tell you what I'm going to shock you to death so you won't die. There are several things about it. First, I do not seek sympathy. Never do. Never seek it. I also never tell anyone my problems or my pain. Never do. Never do. You know why? My seeking sympathy causes me to dwell on my problems, my burdens, and my pain. I'm thinking about it. I don't want to think about it. And my telling somebody simply digs me in deeper, and I'll guarantee you that when you go around telling people about your hurts and about your pain, you dig a hole that's deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. The best thing to do is just tell Him. I don't think about my hurts. Not a part of my thinking process. You say, how do you keep from it? Well, it so happens I'm in control of this head here. What's inside? I wish I were in control of what's on the outside. But I'm in control of what's on the inside of this brain here. I decide what to think about. You can decide what you think about, too. I don't dwell on my hurts. I don't talk about my problems to other people. I don't tell my pain. And I want to say this. And this is going to shock you. This is what's going to kill you. I rarely ever even pray about them. I do not recall the last time that I asked God for something for myself.
You, if you think that's not true, ask him. He'll tell you. If he does, you're not dead then for sure. But I don't pray for myself.
Why? If I pray for myself, I'm thinking of myself. I don't pray for my needs, I pray for your needs. If I pray for anything for myself, I'm praying for God to help me to help you. I'm saying, folks, I'm convinced that one reason I have not burned out, and I mean it, through these just 45,000, almost 45,600 sermons now that I preach. And every day. And I may get sick this afternoon and can't come tonight, but at least it's been 20 years since I did. It's amazing. How many of you have not missed a day's work? You've not missed a day's work or a Sunday in church. Now, follow me carefully. A day's work or a Sunday in church or a Sunday night in church or a Wednesday night in church in 20 years. Would you raise your hand, please? One other fellow over here, pastor of this church. Now, wait a minute. I think I'm qualified to tell you what I'm talking about this morning. I'm saying I'm qualified. I know what I'm talking about. I'm saying that there's a way that you can avoid burnout. Now, you don't believe this. You want to go to the psychiatrist and have some shrink put you on the sofa. Truth is, he needs his own mind examined. He's been to these heathen schools, got him all warped. You ladies want to go from one doctor to the other. You want to go to the medical doctor and the osteopath and the chiropractor and the naturopath and all the rest of them. Won't you just do what I'm talking about this morning? I'm simply saying if you don't want to burn out, let him do the work. Rest in the work and not from the work. Spend time with him and don't dwell on your hurts. I got a call the other day. And a dear friend of mine, preacher friend, one of my best friends. If I listed my 10 best friends in the ministry, he's one of them. He called me and he talked about something else, and something important. And then he said, before I hang up, preacher, I want to tell you something. He said, down here in my part of the country, there's a certain fellow, you think he's your friend, but he... I said, hold it. Wait a minute. Hold it. Wait a minute. He said, no, I'm your friend. I'm not going to criticize you. But he said, there's a fellow down here, you think he's your friend, but he's... I said, hold it. Wait a minute. I don't want to know. He said, why? I said, don't want to know who many of his are. I'm not keeping a list of my friends. Well, okay. He said, I'm sorry. I said, well, you ought to be. I don't want to hear it. Got a letter a few days later. Said, dear preacher, I want to apologize to you for telling you, for almost trying to tell you about an enemy you had down here that you think's your friend. He said, let me just give you a few details. And I immediately took the letter and tore it up and flushed it down the commode. I didn't read the details. Why? Because I don't think about my hurts. I want to think that everybody in the world loves me. That's what I think. Everybody in the world loves me. Don't you wish everybody in the world loved you? Look, I'm just as happy as a fellow that everybody in the world does love him. Because I think everybody does. I'm like that fellow down in Texas at the Terrell Insane Asylum years ago. Every Sunday afternoon we'd go out there when I was a teenager and we'd preach at the Terrell Insane Asylum. George W. Truett was the most famous preacher in the world in those days, pastor of the largest church in First Baptist Church, Dallas, 40-some-odd years. This guy at the Insane Asylum thought he was George W. Truett. He was preaching every Sunday. We went out there, and somebody said to me, he said, look at that crazy nut. He thinks he's George W. Truett. Don't you feel sorry for him? I said, feel sorry for him? Nothing. He thinks he's George W. Truett. But he hadn't got any church budgets to raise. Hadn't got any problems of the pastorate. I'd rather be him than George W. Truett. Leave me alone. Don't tell me you're my enemies. Leave me. I'm not going to be. Why? Why? I don't know why. I've got a life to live and a ministry. And I want to serve God till I'm an old man. And I want to stay faithful to him. And I can't if I burn out. So I don't dwell on my hurts. Number five. I said, number one, I let him do the work. I yield like the exercise cycle. I said, number two, I rest in the work and not from the work. I said, number three, I spend time with him to get my strength renewed They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I said number four, I don't dwell on my hurts. Number five, I try to avoid pressure. I try to avoid pressure. For example, I'm not competing with anybody. Not competing with anybody. For example, I have no set schedule of success for myself I'm trying to keep up with. You know what I said? I have no set schedule of success that I'm trying to stay, keep up with. Ever? I'm not competing with anybody, and I'm not competing with my what I think my potential is. I try to avoid pressure. Number five. Number five. I live a schedule. I live by schedule. Something comes up, I don't say, oh, when will I do that? I've got it in my schedule and I'll do that. Something comes up concerning the college. If it comes up on a Wednesday or a Thursday, I don't panic. Oh, when can I do that? I know when I'll do it. I'll do it Saturday morning when Dr. Evans, Dr. Jordans, and us, we meet for our meeting. I live by schedule. I don't panic. I try to avoid pressure. None of that. I never wait till Saturday night to get a sermon. Always get my sermon Saturday afternoon. I don't pressure myself. I don't belong to that preacher's club that at midnight on Saturday night goes, there's got to be one in here somewhere. Oh, my soul, what will I say? Where? Hey, honey, get me, Brother Howes's tapes and bring them in here quick. I don't belong to that club. I've got sermons outlined in my office right now. I don't have to decide what to preach. I decide which one to preach. I'm always, always, always trying to find out what I think your needs are, and I'm writing down what I think they are. I never am pressured. I never walk to the church on Sunday mornings. Oh, my soul, oh, God, help me. Give me what to say this morning. I never do it. Why? Because I don't want to burn out, and pressure will burn you out as fast as anything. I never worry about my preaching. Never fret about it. Sometimes I preach good sermons around the country, and I know it. Sometimes I preach sermons that are not so good, and I know it. But I always do the best I can. Recently, I preached a sermon. I knew when I got through it, it was not as good as others. I knew that. What'd you do? Go to your room and cry? No, I went to the room and shouted. I was just as saved when I got back in the room as what it was the night before. Did the best I could. That's all you can do is the best you can. This morning, I'm doing the best I can. Tonight, I'll do the best I can. I may do better tonight than this morning. I may do better this morning than tonight, but I do the best I can. If I do the best I can, that's the best I can do. That's a great statement. The best I can do. So I don't live by pressure. Back to my room, and I didn't do as well as I did before. I said, bless God, I'm saved, and I'll get them tomorrow night. You know, I don't think about this. Think about a golf game I played one time. I used to play golf. I quit the game. You know, I've told you why. I quit the game because of discrimination against me. Where the other fellows played, they mowed the grass. Where I played, they never mowed it. I quit the game. That's discrimination anyway. For me to get on a par 4 green in 2 is a Red Sea miracle. Well, that day I did it. It was a 400-yard par 4. I drove about 225 yards, and I can drive well. I can drive 225 yards. So I don't play golf anymore, but in those days, and I can putt pretty well normally. But the long irons, short irons, best part of my game. Long irons, terrible. If you live anywhere in the neighborhood, pull down your windows, get the kids out of the yard, pray. I drove to that green par 4, 400-yard hole in 2. I was about 3 or 4 feet, about 4 feet in the hole. And I was trying to get a birdie. I missed the putt. But I'll get a par. I missed the putt. But I'll get a bogey. I missed the putt. I four-putted from 4 feet. Folks, that's 1 foot a putt.
Oh, my soul. Here I got a double bogey. I was on the green in two. I couldn't believe it. I absolutely got a six instead of a three or a four. So I go to the next hole. Get ready to drive, you know. And what am I thinking about? What did I do wrong on that last hole? What did I do wrong on that last hole?
Oh, I could have gotten a birdie. I never get a birdie. I could have gotten a birdie.
So what did I do? I forgot about this hole. So I, thinking about the last hole, I took a swing. I didn't even touch the ball. Missed it. That is, going forward. But coming back, hit it almost 200 yards that way. Why? Why? Because I was worried about the last hole. You ask any golfer, he'll tell you, you've got to play the hole you're playing now. You've got to live the day. Okay, so you burned everything in the meal last night. Do better for breakfast. Burn less of it. That's the secret to it. You don't put yourself under pressure all the time. I said, I'm not competing with anybody. I have no set schedule for myself. I live by no set schedule of success for myself. I live by schedule. If something comes up, I know when I'll do it. I never wait to the last minute. I never worry about my preaching before or after my preaching. When I walk here, I never fret about how I'm going to do. When I get finished, I never fret about how I did. I just do the best I can while I'm doing it. I don't fret. I'm not bitter at anybody. Did you know that most of our burnouts is caused by hurt feelings? Bitterness, fretting, worry. Most of our physical burnouts are caused by emotional problems. I don't fret. Not bitter at anybody. Not mad at anybody. Here's a guy. He's trying to sleep at night and he can't because he's bitter at a guy. I hate that guy. You're the guy staying awake. Pray God to help him stay awake and worry. You go sleep. Don't live that way. That's why you burn out. That's why some of you youngsters, you young people, I don't mean to be unkind to you, but you haven't got any sense burning out. No reason for it. Now, I'm saying if you have some physical problem, that's different. But most of our physical problems that cause burnout are caused because of our emotional problems.
Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your soul.
The soul is the problem. Jesus said you'll find rest to your soul. That's your problem, not your body. Your problem is your soul. Why can't you just say, good night, he's in charge, he's my God, he knows what's going on, I'll do my best for him and let him take care of the rest of it. Why can't you do that? That way you'll avoid the burnout. Number six, I don't make many decisions. I don't make many decisions. I live by principles. Nearly about 40 years ago, I made five principles in my life. You've heard me tell about them. I promised God that money would never be a part of my ministry. Never has been a part. Never has been. Money's not an issue with me. Money is only a tool by which you buy your necessities and give the rest away. I said, number two, nobody will mess with my preaching. All cared for. Two and two is four, sunrise, east and the west, and you won't mess with my preaching. Number three, I'll make my decisions on the basis of right and wrong and not on the basis of how they turn out. I'll do right if I get fired. I won't do wrong to get fired. I won't do wrong to stay popular. I won't do wrong to be loved. I'll do right on the basis, is it right, is it wrong? And the decision is based on that principle, is it right or wrong? Principle number four. I made a decision that I'll be loyal to principles and not to institutions. Institutions change, principles don't change. I'll not give my loyalty to Bob Jones University.
I'll not give my loyalty to the Tennessee Temple. I'll not give my loyalty to Howells Anderson College. I'll not give my loyalty to the First Baptist Church of Hammond. I'll give my loyalty to what I think is truth and to my principles. And as long as the institution is within the framework of those principles, I'll support it. When it gets out of the framework, I don't support it anymore. Now, those five principles I made many years ago, I guarantee you, 99% of all the decisions of my life, those principles make, and I don't make them. I don't spend my life saying, oh, what shall I do? You know what I'll do? It's like old computers. I let the cards fall down, they fall where they're supposed to fall. The principles are right here, and the cards fall down inside those principles. Now listen to me. There's no need for somebody 40 years old to be cracking up. There's no need for that. You're supposed to crack up when you're 62. I've got another year. There's no need for it. There's no need for you young guys to be burning out. There's no need for that. And your mamas. I wouldn't want mamas to be any other way. Every mama ought to think her little boy is a sweetie, sweetie, tizey, wisey. But every young man ought to think, I'm a man, I'm going to be a man. But there's no need for you to burn out. There's no need. And you won't if you will let Him do the work. Rest in the work and not from the work. Spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. Get to know Him. Don't dwell on your hurts. There are thousands of people that pay doctor bills just so they can tell another doctor their problems. Number five, avoid pressure. Number six, don't make decisions. Let your principal make those decisions. I close with this, repeating what I said a while ago. 61 years old, been preaching for 40, pastoring for 40 years, over 40 years. I've been preaching for 42 years. I've just passed 7 million miles flying on airlines. I have to get every week new messages all the time, counsel with people, write a book a year, written now 36, 37 books. Another one's coming off the press in a few weeks. Never a day off. Never a vacation. 20 years, not missed anything because of the illness. There's got to be a reason. I thank God this morning. Somebody said to me the other day, said, Brother House, said, you're bound, as you travel across the country, you're bound to preach the same sermon a lot because the folks in Florida need the same thing the folks in Washington State need. And I said, that's right. He said, how many times you preached that sermon you preached last night? And I said, about 16, 17. He said, how can you preach the same sermon 17 times and still get as excited about it? I said, I'm not excited about the sermon. I'm excited about the truth. The truth is always the same. The truth never changes. I thank God this morning. I love Him more today than I've ever loved Him. I love this book more today than I've ever loved it. I preach as hard today as I ever did, and longer than I ever did. And I'm as excited about life as I ever was. And I'm looking forward to preaching tonight on the subject, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Just as much as I look forward to preaching when I pastored my first little country church out in the woods. Why? Because I've learned how not to burn out. Get the tape. Listen to it over and over and over and over again. I preached it this morning because instead of Wednesday night, because many of you are here this morning, they'll be working Wednesday night. I wanted to tell you, you can't avoid burnout if you so choose. Jesus will not give you rest when you come to Him. He didn't say, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke upon you. No, He said, first you come to Me. Come unto Me. You got to come to Him. Have you ever come to Christ? Have you ever said, Jesus, I take You as my Savior. I'm coming to You and trusting You to take me to heaven. Have you ever said, out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. into thy gladness, freedom, and light. Jesus, I come to thee.
You've got to come to him first. Him that cometh to me, I'll no wise cast out. Come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. If you're not saved, come to him. Come to him. Trust him. Go to heaven when you die. If you are saved, let him do the work. You yield. Rest in the work and not from the work. Spend time, much time, with him. Don't dwell on your hurts and weaknesses and problems. Avoid your pressure. And let your principles make your decisions. Shall we stand, please?